Okay, I'm with Andrew Lyons from Ultra Knowledge. I guess your presentation was the most commercial one of them. You seem to be the man of the four who's perhaps doing this with a few more pound signs in his eyes rather than just a sort of feeling of data altruism. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, totally. I mean, that's, I think, why we're invited. It's data economy. So I thought it was only fair to actually start saying how you can exploit that open data to actually make money or actually just change the direction of the conversation. So that's the other thing. So you might not make any money from it, but down in the short term, but in the long term, definitely.
I would suggest, having given out £100 there to the people answering questions, you've certainly not made money from that particular.
Well, that's the thing, you see. So is that an investment I've just made? Is that a new model that I've tried here tonight? It totally is, but it's measured because it was a £100 outlay. Hopefully we'll get people talking and thinking, and actually maybe thinking, maybe when I ask the next question, they're going to say, yeah, and suddenly that, all I want to do is prove the point that, why not try something different? Why is it always the same thing?
Okay, we've got this term data mining, and we're talking about the value of data. Yeah. Could we see data gold rushes?
I think definitely the world is changing, and there are people out there that are realizing that if you aggregate content, if you curate that content and you take the wisdom of the crowd and you provide a engaging user experience that isn't out there at the moment, well, guess what's going to happen in 3 years' time? They'll no longer go into the traditional media. They're going to go to these new outlets. And for me, that's really exciting. So maybe that the gold rush term is actually maybe quite an interesting one to use, because it's a little bit of a land grab now. We believe in 3 years' time, every vertical will be taken. You will be able to say, what's the number one site in cancer? What's the number one site in dementia, rugby, tennis, football, whatever it is? Because the people that are going to do it right are going to own the conversation. They're going to own the destination. So a gold rush it certainly is.
So essentially, we've got a vast amount of data, much of it being made available for free, but what we're lacking is the ability to actually see and make meaning of that data. What's growing up in this data economy is the people that can actually sift that data and then represent that data in an understandable, usable, and perhaps exciting form.
And the beautiful thing is, it can be automated. So this is no longer a manual process. The reason I mentioned Mr. Schmitz in my presentation about harnessing serendipity electronically, he can do it. And guess what? Ultra Knowledge can also do it. So we can automatically identify the relationship that a story today has with the past, but more importantly, with the future, without the need to have a manual editing process.
How accurate is that? I mean, one would think that the manual aspect is an important one. How accurate can it be doing it without that manual aspect?
Well, I think the key thing is that you always provide an editorial control level. So if somebody is willing to go in and look at the 100 pages or the 200 pages that they would like to really make sure are absolutely accurate, but for the other 400 million that were automatically created, indexed into Google, driving millions and millions of users to your site automatically, that then you have a conversation with, yeah, I'm happy to let that go automatically.
And presumably this automation of sifting this data will in itself become more sophisticated.
Totally. I mean, we're not at the beginnings. This has been going on for a long time in the enterprise space. But what's happening is companies like Ultra Knowledge are taking that intelligence and now putting it to the open data platforms. So either working with publishers who have decades and decades of content that hasn't been tagged, hasn't been made SEO friendly. And the biggest issue we find, especially with large organizations and people who write about news, is traditional search engine optimization companies can't cut it. And what we mean by that is their traditional approach will be, so Mr. Newspaper Editor, what key terms and phrases would you like to rank highly for in Google? And the response will be, I'm a news agency. I want to rank highly for what's going to happen in the next 25 minutes, the subject of which I currently have no idea what it is. What can you do for me? And they will walk out that door quicker than you can say bye-bye, because they can't do what they traditionally do, which is pre-build pages based on the content they already have. It's a manual process. We can now harness that editorial flavor and actually say, you're doing the hard work. Writing great content is really difficult. And then asking somebody, then can you put three tags on it? It's almost like an insult. What we can do is actually do that automatically and actually make the relationships contextually between the past, the present, and the future. And guess what? Then you can actually bring in a commercial angle. If we have any products, if we have any relevant content that's useful for that user at that particular time on that particular article, why aren't we presenting it? Why are we not listening to them? And it goes back to that thing I said in the talk, that if you harness the conversation and listen to people, guess what? They're going to stay with you and have a much better conversation.
So, Andrew, thank you. A man who can see revenue in data as well as beauty.
Yeah, I think they both work together.